recently told me that they were on a flight going to Eretz Yisrael, and as is often reported, there seems to be some kind of issue with the seating, that there are some members of our people who don't like to sit next to other members of our people. And that is a question that I've long wondered about. What is the story with the seating on the airplanes? So here it goes. And really the story begins, and I don't want to be mezalzel at all. The point of this shiur is really to just have an understanding as to what the issues are all about. And there really are a real issue to contend with. It's not just a joke, and it's not something that we should laugh off. And certainly, my father always says that the Rambam writes in one place, I didn't bring it here, but the Rambam writes in one place that a person should always go in life in the derech hamamutzeh. A person should always try to find the equal happy medium to the way that they live life. And the Rambam writes that that is the case, except for a couple of midos rows, the Rambam says, like gaiva and kas, I believe the Rambam says, are two exceptions to the rule where you should run totally in the opposite direction and have absolutely no gaiva, have absolutely no anger inside of yourself. And secondly, says the Rambam, if I'm not mistaken, that a person who lives in a generation where they struggle with a particular issue, you have to make sure that you go to the opposite extreme to be sure that you're not going to fall in with the rest of the members of your generation. And this, my father always points out to us, is one of the greatest challenges of our generation is that we are a dar that it's paritz ba'arayus. And it's clear. You go around the world, you go on the internet, and you see what's going on. And it's clear that people are just not careful with the issues of arayus anymore. And therefore, he always encourages us that even if something might be mutter, you should go out of your way to be machmir in this generation when it comes to this kind of issue. So very often I've asked him about certain yichud questions. Is there a violation of yichud when you're talking about this kind of scenario? The husband is in town, the wife is in town, everybody's here and there. And the question is, are there loopholes to get around the laws of yichud? And he sometimes says, yes, there might be room to be mekel, and you may be allowed to be in the same place as this person from the opposite gender, whoever it might be. However, in our generation, one has to be more careful than they otherwise may have been in previous generations, because we are a dar that unfortunately is paritz ba'arayus, which leaves the responsibility on us to be far greater than we otherwise would have been. The Rambam writes in the end of Hilchos Isurei Bia, and sometimes the Rambam does this, when he has a whole set of halachos, in the very end, he puts some divrei hashkafa, right before he finishes off the perek. So here the Rambam writes something very uncharacteristically. Ein lecha davar b'chol ha-Torah kula. Says the Rambam, there is nothing in all the laws of the Torah shehu kasha lerov ha'am ela lifrosh min ha'arayus v'habios ha'asuros. The Rambam writes something that is an amazing statement. There is nothing in kol ha-Torah kula. We have many challenging things that the Torah expects of us, that the Torah demands us to live by. But the Rambam here says, ein lecha davar b'chol ha-Torah kula. There is nothing in the entirety of Torah shehu kasha lerov ha'am that is difficult to most Jewish people as it is to be lifrosh min ha'arayus. And therefore, amru chachamim, b'shosh and etztavu Yisrael al ha'arayus, when we have a tradition, when the Jewish people were told originally about the law of arayus by Matan Torah, bachu, they all began to cry, v'kiblu mitzvah zubata rumos uve b'chia. As the Torah says, bochel mishpachosav, and Rashi writes there, al iske mishpachosav, this was a very personal issue. God is going to tell me who I'm allowed to marry and who I'm not allowed to marry. God is going to restrict me physically and say that there are certain relationships that I'm not allowed to be a part of, says the Rambam. This is something that was a struggle from the beginning, from the time when the Isra of Arias was stated to the Jewish people openly by Har Sinai. This is something that we accepted reluctantly. It's something that was difficult for us. It's something that we cried about. And the Rambam says it's because of that that this is the most difficult of all the mitzvos and isurim in the Torah. This is what he refers to as kasha l'rov ha'am. This is a difficult challenge for most people. V'yamru chachamim, and the Rambam then continues, that Chazal tell us, gezel v'arayos nafshel shal adam is avelahem umachmadasan. These two aspects of gezel, somebody else's money, somebody else's property, and number two, arayos, is something that we have an innate want for. We have a desire for it. Not because it makes sense. If you ever take a step back and you ask yourself, why am I running after this? Do I really need that? Do I really want it? If I take all the picture into perspective, is it really worth putting my whole life on the line, my whole reputation on the line? You look at what some people would do to get a satiating enjoyment and pleasure out of their arayos that they get involved in, is it really worth it for everything that they're about to give up for that act, for that pleasure? And the Rambam says this is something that human nature struggles with. And the Rambam goes on and on to say that we have to be very, very careful about how we deal with this issue. Lefikach roi lo la'adam lachav yitzro b'davar zeh ulahargil atzmo b'kedusha yisera. We have to go above and beyond and to be very, very careful never to put ourselves in a situation where we may make a mistake. Now, that being said, there are rules and regulations that the Torah says we need to live by when we come to the laws of Arayus. And it does not mean that you have to always be machmir. It does not mean you have to be an extremist. There are rules and regulations that the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch describe, and there are some that we need to abide by, and there are others that just simply are really not the basic understanding of what the halacha demands of us. So let's try to understand this particular issue. What's the story with men and women sitting next to each other, let's say on an airplane, for argument's sakes, only because this is something that we see in the news all the time, that you go on a plane and there are some religious men who don't want to sit next to the religious woman that was seated next to them. Are they really justified in making an issue out of it, or is this something that is really totally unacceptable? We begin with the Pasuk in Sefer Vayikra. Ish ish al kol she'er besaro lo sikervu legalos erva ani Hashem. A person, and that refers, writes the Sefer Achinuch, it refers equally to men as it does to women. Some people have the mistaken impression that the whole prohibition of arayos is something that's on the men. It's not true. Women have the same prohibition of being involved in arayos as the men do. And in fact, many achronim say that women have the same prohibition of histaklus ba'arayos. It's not just that men who are going to look at things and then it's going to lead them to do something else, they are not the only ones who have something prohibited on them to look at things that they shouldn't look at. Women share the same prohibition as men do. That's what the Sefer Achinuch writes when he describes this mitzvah in Shin Pei Zayin. He says, don't make any mistake, when it says ish ish, it doesn't mean only the males. It means every member of the Jewish people has to make sure that they are vigilant about the area of arayos in their lives. Now, the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos says that this is a very curious terminology. What do you mean, ish ish al kol she'er besaro lo sikervu legalo serva? What does it mean you shouldn't come close? The Rambam says this is not something that we find by other isurim in the Torah. It doesn't say you shouldn't get near a piece of non-kosher food. It doesn't say you shouldn't get near a person who serves avodah zarah. Nowhere do we find that kind of formulation in the psukim in the Torah. So here, all of a sudden, when we come to arayos, it says lo sikervu, you're not allowed to come close. What does the Torah mean to impart with those words? Writes the Rambam in Mitzvah Shin Nun Gimel. I didn't put it on here, but the Rambam, listen carefully. He says, Hu shehiz hiranu mikarov la'achas mikal elu ha'arayos va'afilu below bia. Says the Rambam, the prohibition that the Torah means to spell out here when it says lo sikervu is, not only can a person not have a conjugal relationship with one of those arayos, but also, says the Rambam, even if you're going to have chibuk uneshika v'hadoma lehem mipu'ulas haznus, even if you're going to have any other physical contact with that person, with the opposite gender, and again, this is something that applies both to men and to women. So the Rambam says that is included in this biblical prohibition of lo sikervu legalos erva. And that's why here, in particular, we find this very unusual terminology. We don't find it anywhere else, but here we do find it because the Torah tells us, midaraisa, under the category of gili arayis, is not only that you're not allowed to have a relationship with the opposite gender, but you're not even allowed to do anything that is close to that as well. Kigon, chibuk v'nishuk, like hugging or kissing the opposite gender, would be something that is included. And the Rambam goes on to quote this from the Sifra. This is not his own understanding. This is his understanding from what he saw in the Sifra. And the Rambam goes on for a couple of pages to explain what exactly the parameters are of this biblical prohibition. That is the opinion of the Rambam. However, the Rambam says there is one difference between having an actual relationship and just being involved in other things, like hugging and kissing. And that, says the Rambam, is that we assume if you have an actual relationship with one of the arayos, you'll be chayiv kares. If you only do something such as chibuk v'nishuk, then we assume you're only in violation of a lav, but you will not be punished with kares. But other than that, the Rambam says, just the punishment is where we find a distinction, but outside of that, the Rambam says, all of this falls under the category of lo sikervu legalos erva. Now this is the position of the Rambam, But the Ramban clearly disagrees with him. And the Ramban there, in his commentary on the Sefer HaMitzvos, writes that this cannot be. This cannot be, says the Ramban. That's not what the Torah had in mind at all. And all of these prohibitions of chibuk and nishuk and doing all kinds of other touch between the opposite gender, that would be something that is only an iser midirabbanan. So again, the Rambam and the Ramban both agree that it's not something that we're allowed to be engaged in. Both of them agree. The Rambam just says this is an iser d'oraisa. The Ramban says it's an iser d'rabbanan, but they all agree that this is something that is prohibited. And the Rambam is not alone in believing that this is an actual iser d'oraisa. There are many other Rishonim who adopt the Rambam's opinion. The Smak and the Smag and the Sefer Achinuch and the Tur also writes in Evan Ezra Simon Chav that he feels that the Rambam's position is correct, that having any contact with the opposite gender would be a violation mida araisa of lo sikr vula galus erva. Now, the Radvaz... So we're just getting started. Let's just leave it now to chibuk v'nishuk. Let's leave it to that right now. Yes?
And parents and a mother and a son?
Oh, so 1 second. So just give me a second. That's a good question. Obviously... Okay, 1 minute. Let's see. So the Radvaz, one of the great Rishonim, the Radvaz, has a very interesting question. Ask the Radvaz, how can you tell me that this is a biblical prohibition? How can you tell me that the Torah, that's your question, how can you say that the Torah says you're not allowed to have any contact with the opposite gender? Says the Radvaz, and look at him carefully, number bays, Iyata Omer Kane, he says, Lo shavkas chai l'chol beria, sha'asr liga babito oba achoso. I don't understand. If the Rambam is telling me that this is a biblical prohibition, that you're not allowed to have any contact with the opposite gender, then what about my mother? What about my sister? What about my daughter? I'm not allowed to touch them. I'm not allowed to give them a kiss. That can't be. After all, the Radvaz writes there that you find many times in the Gemara that there are stories where the Amoraim did have contact with their siblings or did have contact with their children, which they should. And the question is, how can you explain that? The Rambam says this is a biblical prohibition. It doesn't make sense. Well, says the Radvaz that therefore he adopts the position of the Ramban that this is only rabbinic in its nature. This is only an Issa d'Rabbanan. And therefore what? What's the difference? So if it's only midirabbanan, the understanding of the Radvaz is when the laws of the Torah were given, the Torah did not differentiate. The Torah said laws in absolute terms. When you have a din d'Rabbanan, the Chachamim can come along and say, this is where it applies and that's where it doesn't apply. So it applies only to these arayas and not to those arayas. It applies only to those who you're considered a gili arayas to, but it doesn't apply to your mother and your sister and your daughter because those are in a different category. Says the Radvaz, we don't find such differentiation when we're talking about a din that's explicit in the Torah itself. And therefore, the Radvaz says, that's why I adopt the position of the Ramban, who says that all of this is only in Isser Midrabbanim. Because if not, how can you have a situation where a person would be allowed to have any contact with his daughter, with his sister, or with his mother? Exactly the question that you asked. So, how is the Rambam going to defend himself? How is the Rambam going to answer the question? If you're telling me that the Torah talks in absolute terms, and the Torah writes here, lo sikrvu legalus erva, which means, not only am I prohibited from having an actual relationship with this person, but I'm also not allowed to engage in hugging or kissing the person from the opposite gender, then how can it be that we have stories in the Gemara about family members who used to touch each other? Were they all in violation of the Issa d'Oraisa? So the Achronim answer no. The Achronim say that the way the Rambam understands this pasuk is, the only time that we have a prohibition of lo sikrvu is when it's a kirva that is going to be mevi lidei maisa. When you're doing something that might lead to something far worse. And the understanding is, if a boy is going to hug and kiss his mother, it's not going to lead him to do anything worse. Most regular people don't have a real interest in that. If a boy, incest is not something that's natural for a brother and a sister to be attracted to each other and to have a relationship with one another, is very unusual, and therefore the Torah assumes that because engaging in chibuk v'nishuk with a sister, with a mother, or with a daughter would not usually, obviously there are exceptions to the rule, but normally it would not lead to anything worse than that, therefore that was never included in the prohibition in the first place. That's the way the Rambam understands it. And if you look in the Rambam in Hilchos Yisurei Bia number Gimel, the Rambam writes this pretty much explicitly. If you have a person who is engaged in some kind of activity with one of the people who is in the category of arayos, or shechibik v'nishuk derech taiva, V'nena b'kirav basar, or he hugs and he kisses somebody who is an erva to him, harez elokim in HaTorah. He will get malchus because he violated a lav. Like it says, lo sikrivu legalos erva. Kolomar, what is the definition of this lav of lo sikrivu legalos erva? Right, the Rambam, I'm going to explain to you exactly where it applies. It means, lo sikrivu ledvarim hameviim lidei gilo erva. Don't be engaged in any activity that is going to ultimately lead you to perhaps being involved in a real situation of Gilei Arayis. And therefore the Rambam says, that's why we no longer have a problem with one's mother, with one's sister, or with one's daughter. Because that wouldn't be a something, that's a situation that would lead a person by hugging and kissing that person. Normally that would not lead to anything further than that, and therefore it's never included in the Iser D'Araisa in the first place. If you look in the Shach, who is one of the most important Sifrei HaHalacha, so the Shach writes in Yeredeya Siman Kufnun Zayin that he believes that the Rambam's position is the correct one, that lo sikrivu is actually an iser d'araisa. You're not only prohibited from engaging in actual activity with one of the arayas, but also in any kind of chibuk v'nishuk as well would be an iser d'araisa. Mikal makom mashma, writes the Shach, even though I believe that the Rambam is correct, that this is really an iser d'araisa, I still feel da'av harambam lo ka'amar ela kisha'oseh chibuk v'nishuk dera chibas bia. It's only when I'm doing something that might potentially lead me to do something that is worse. Sharei matzina b'shas b'kama duchti sh'amaraim hayim mechabkim u'menashkim liben oseyem. We see in the Gemara that there were many great people, many great tzaddikim, who used to be involved in hugging and kissing their own children, their own daughters. So how can they do that? Therefore he says, v'chein kasav Rabbi Yitzchak liyon sham behedya, v'chein mashma lehedim mimashe kasav harambam, reish perak chafalef meisure bia, and he quotes our Rambam. And he says that it seems that even though the Rambam understands that this is an Issa D'Araisa, the Rambam still agrees that it's only going to be in biblical prohibition to be involved in chibuk v'nishuk when you're talking about a situation that might lead to something that is going to be worse. Okay, so that answers your question. Now, based on this logic, the Shach writes in another place in Siman Kuf Tzadihei, that's Hilchos Nida, the Shach writes in Siman Kuf Tzadihei, what I believe is probably an obvious point. Says the Shach, what if I have a male who wants to be a gynecologist? What if I have a male who wants to be, forget a gynecologist, he wants to be a regular internist, he wants to be a regular doctor. Does he have a right to take women as his patients or not? Well, writes the Shach.
Or vice versa.
Correct, that's true. You're right. I shouldn't have said that example. Or vice versa. That's right. So the Shach says, well, let's break it down. Let's think about it. What should be the problem? Well, you're obviously going to be involved in touching this person, and you're going to be involved in looking at this person, so maybe you'll say, why should he be allowed to do that? A male should have to go to a male doctor, a female should have to go to a female, and there's no crossing here. You're not allowed to do such a thing. Writes the Shach, no, I wouldn't assume that that's the case, because after all, I believe that the Rambam's whole position in the first place only was that you're not allowed to be engaged in touching that is bederechiba. If you're involved in some kind of touch that is, I guess sensual is the right word? No? What? I guess that's the right word. So here writes the Shach, if you have a doctor, this is his job, this is what he does. Every day he has, you know, probably 10, 20, 30 patients. He's not thinking about everybody that walks in the door, he's not really paying attention. Every so often you have doctors who are corrupt and doing the wrong thing. And a doctor who wants to go into this field has to think very carefully about whether or not they're on that standard, they're on that level of really knowing how to behave properly. But if you are a person who is a Yarei Shamayim, says the Shach, and you understand that you're doing your job and you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, then says the Shach, I don't see why there should be any issue. After all, this follows exactly the criterion that the Rambam said wouldn't be an issue at all. This is not a Chibuk, it is not a Nishuk, it is nothing that will lead to anything more, and therefore the Rambam would say that in such a case there is nothing to be concerned of at all. If we stop here, sounds like a very simple issue. Sounds like it's open and shut. The problem is, the Beis Yosef writes against everything that we just said. And in Shulchan Aruch, he actually quotes the halacha, his own opinion. So this is very problematic. Let's read the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef writes in Yerodea, in the end of Siman Kuf Tzadi Hei. This is number Hei on our sheet here. Writes the Beis Yosef, Kasevod b'Trumas Hadeshen b'Shem Gadalecha. Now the Trumas Hadeshen is one of the most important figures in Chachmei Ashkenaz. Many of the Pesachim of the Ramah are based off of the Trumas Hadeshen. So here, writes the Beis Yosef in the name of the Trumas Hadeshen, who is quoting the Shem Gadol Echad. De Isha Nida Chola. if you have a woman who is a nida and she's not well, ubaila rofe, and her husband happens to be a doctor, so the obvious place to go is to her own husband. Why should she go to the doctor's office? Let her husband take care of her. Well, says the Beis Yosef, we have a problem. Aser lemashesh las hadofik. That means he's not allowed to take her pulse. The husband is not allowed to take his wife's pulse when she's not feeling well. Now, unfortunately, we get these questions all the time. You have members of our community, or I assume members in every community, where either the husband or the wife are not well, and the other spouse has to help take care of them, and the woman is not in a position, either she's the one who's sick, she's not in a position to go to the mikveh, so she is a nida, and she's tameya, and generally we have all kinds of laws that are expected to be followed when a woman is considered to be a nida. So either she's unable to go to the mikveh because she's not well enough to go. Let's say a woman is on chemo. So sometimes it's dangerous for a woman to go to the mikveh because there can be a lot of germs there. So what I've heard in the past, I don't know if it's true, I don't have enough experience, but I've heard that they'll always give those women the first appointment to go right after the chlorine was put in, and now the mikveh is for sure clean before anyone gets in. You can make an accommodation. I don't know if every community figures that out, but let's say you have a situation where a person's just not up to it, so she's not able to go to the mikveh, or she's taking care of her husband who's not well, and she happens to be in the middle of her cycle, and she's not able to really become tahor right now. So what do you do? And these are very serious questions. So if you look in the Nishmas Avram, written by Dr. Abraham, he has pages and pages where he goes through every single treatment trying to figure out what should a woman do or what should a man do when they have the opposite gender that needs their help because they're not well. How do you deal with that situation? And he goes through how do you put the drops in the eyes and how do you make sure to put a Band-Aid on and to bandage up the foot or bandage up the hand and how do you give the treatments and how do you do everything? How do you move them from the bed? This is a very serious issue, and unfortunately it comes up all the time, and you have to really look into it very, very carefully to understand what is allowed and what's not allowed. And what's even more difficult is when you have a situation, what is the reason, by the way? We know that there's an isra of yichud im ha'arayas. Not only are we not allowed to have an actual relationship with the arayas, but we're not allowed to be miyached with an arayas either. So I'll ask you, is a nida considered an arayas or not? It's a trick question. Well, not your wife for a minute. Let's say, why would your wife be any different? If she's a nida, so she's the same as everybody else. So that's a question. The Rishonim are trying to figure out, how do you classify a nida? On the one hand, she has some characteristics as an arayas. On the other hand, she has some characteristics which are not. What are the characteristics of an arayas? Generally, one of the arayas that you're not allowed to be married to, the consequence of being married to such a person would be, if you have a child, the vlad would be a mamzer. The child would be a mamzer. Right? That's the definition of an arayas. A nida, if I have a relationship with a nida, I did the wrong thing, but if you have a child, the child is not a mamzer. What? So the Gemara says you have something wrong, whatever. That's a heebie-jeebie land. But leave that aside, leave the Kabbalah aside, the child would not be labeled as a mamzer at all. Before your child goes out on a date, you don't ask, is the prospective boy or girl who you're going out with, were they born to a woman who is makbet on taras ha-mishpacha? I don't think everybody asked that question. I do think people would be concerned if you would ask, you know, is this child a mamzer? Are they born out of a illegitimate marriage? That's a question that's worth asking. So this is something, I'm not advocating that we should ask such a question, but it's something that's important to know, because a mamzer le'yavah b'kal Hashem. So normally, one of the defining characteristics of a iser erva is that they produce a mamzer if you have a relationship with them. And yet, anida, if you have a child with a nida, the child is not going to be labeled as a mamzer, which would seem to indicate that this is not one of the people in the category of arayis. On the other hand, the Rishonim say another characteristic of an erva is that there's a chiyuv karis. If you have a relationship with any of these arayis, there's a chiyuv karis. If you have a relationship with a nida, it's karis. So on the one hand, it has one characteristic like the arayis category. On the other hand, it has a characteristic which is not like the arayas category. So the question is, if it's a quasi-arayas, how is a husband ever allowed to be in the same house as his wife when she's a nida? Isn't that an issur of yichud? So what's the answer the Rishonim say? Pas basalo means, we're already married, so what's the problem? What's the problem? We're not afraid that maybe he's going to lead himself to do something wrong. The whole Isra of Yichud is, if you're going to be miyached with this person, maybe it will lead you to do something worse. But here, with his own wife, he knows that in 2 weeks from now she's going to be fine. He knows that in a week from now he's going to be back together with her, and therefore there's nothing to be concerned about. And that's why we assume there's no issue of a husband and wife being miyached with each other when she is in Nida. Now, how far do you take that? Let's say you have a woman who is now in Nida, and now she's so sick that she's not going to be able to go to a mikvah for another year. I know a woman who had an infection, and the doctors told her it's not safe for her to go to the mikvah for another 6-7 months, because whatever it was, she had something wrong with her. So it's not her fault. What should she do? She's not well. Is her husband allowed to live in the same house with her? Maybe you say, pas besalo is only when I know I have another week. I know I have another 2 weeks, maximum another month. A woman just had a baby, so sometimes she has to wait 4 weeks, 6 weeks till everything stops, and then she can become tahora. But you know there's going to be a definite end when she's going to become tahora, and you will be reunited once again as a couple. But when you have a situation where there is no end in sight, that is a very difficult question. And that's a question I don't like to raise when these kinds of situations come up, but sometimes people ask the question, and it's a very, very difficult question to answer. What do you do? Is there actually a prohibition of yichud when your own wife is a nida, and you don't see in the foreseeable future that there could be any way out of it? That is a major problem. It's a major question. But the point being, the Beis Yosef writes over here. How do we get into this? Writes the Beis Yosef, Kaseva b'chumas adeshem shem gadalechad. Isha nida chola ubala rofe. What if you have a woman who is a nida, and her husband happens to be a doctor? So he says, asur l'mashesh la'as hadefek. Says the Beis Yosef, quoting the Chumash HaDeshen, he is not allowed to take her pulse. Why not? Why not? If you follow all the criterion that we just spoke about, you would say there's no problem. Is this at all being done in a way which is sensual? That's not my intent at all. I'm touching my wife because I know she's sick and I know she needs my help, so I'm going to take her pulse. It's not going to lead me to do anything else. So this is a very problematic statement. Vinir midvar shafilu kishein rofe zulaso aser, writes the Beis Yosef, even if you're the only doctor in town. So what does that mean? Even if you're the only doctor in town? Or it goes in the opposite direction as well. Beis Yosef couldn't imagine there would be a female doctor. But what would happen in the other direction? You have a woman who's a doctor and her husband is sick. So what do you do then? So the Beis Yosef writes that this is something that would not be permissible. And he quotes this from the Ramban. And if you look in Shulchan Aruch, there in Siman Kuf Tzadihei, this is Paskin LaHalacha, that a husband who is a doctor and his wife is not well, he is not allowed to be the one designated to go and take her pulse, even if he's the only doctor in town. Now that's something that goes against everything that we just spoke about. After all, the Rambam says the only time that touch is not permissible between the genders is when we're dealing with something that is going to lead to a real relationship. But over here, that's not what's happening. She's sick. And the husband is just coming to cure her. So the Shach writes as follows. Look at the Shach in number Vav. The Shach says, I don't understand. How can you say such a thing? Haminig pashut sherofim yisraelim mimashmashim hadofik shala isha afilu eishas ish o avedus kochavim afal pishiesh rofim acherim ovde kochavim. Says the Shach, I don't know what the Shulchan Aruch is talking about. Has he never been to a hospital? Did he never see that there's a doctor who treats a female patient? Even when there's another option. This woman could go to another doctor. But she chooses to go to the firm guy who she knows from down the block. She's more comfortable with him. Writes the Shach, I don't know what he's talking about. Why should there be a problem? L'chein osim shar minei mishmushim al pi darkei harufuah. Not only does the doctor do exactly what he has to do, he doesn't just come, take the pulse, and walk out of the room. He'll give her a band-aid, he'll bandage up the leg, he'll do whatever needs to be done for his patient. He doesn't just do the bare minimum for pikuach nefesh, forget pikuach nefesh. Writes the Shach, if you're a doctor, this is your job, and we see it all the time. Says the Shach, where's the Beis Yosef come off to say such a thing? So this is his problem in trying to understand what the Beis Yosef means. Explains Rav Moshe Feinstein in his Tshuva and Eben Ezer Chelek Beis. He says, what does the Beis Yosef mean here? Beis Yosef agrees to the Shach. The Beis Yosef agrees that normally a woman who's a Nida, a woman who's an Eishes Ish, a woman who's an Erva, certainly she's allowed to go to the doctor, and certainly the doctor is allowed and obligated to treat her. Because you're not concerned that that's going to lead to anything worse. After all, the Rambam, when he defines the Isser, he says, it's only when you have something that is going to lead to an action that's worse, to real Gilui Arayus. But over here, when he's just treating his patient, you don't really have to be concerned about such a thing spiraling out of control. However, writes Rav Moshe, what does the Beis Yosef mean? Beis Yosef means, if it's my wife, if it's my own wife, and I'm treating her, one thing can actually lead to the next. After all, we have all kinds of harchakos between a husband and a wife when she is in nida. They have to observe harchakos. Why do they have to observe harchakos? Why is it that we have this concept of harchakos between a husband and a wife when she's in nida? Why don't you say they're not allowed to have relationship with each other, but otherwise everything else should be fine? The answer is because libo gaspa, the husband and wife have a very deep relationship, and if you're going to start with this, it's going to lead to something else, which will lead to something else, and then they're going to ultimately do the real aveira. So says Rav Moshe, what did the Beis Yosef mean here when he says, "Aser lemashesh la'as hadefek," that the doctor is not allowed to treat the patient when she is in nida? Says the Rav Moshe, that's only talking about where he's the husband, where he's the doctor. But any other doctor in the world, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to be concerned. That's what Rav Moshe writes. And therefore he says, that's why the Shulchan Aruch says that this is the adopted opinion that he follows. But the Shach rejects it categorically. The Shach says, what are you talking about? Whether it's the husband or whether it's any other doctor, when you're doing this only because you want to help treat the patient that's in front of you, doesn't matter if it's a man, doesn't matter if it's a woman, doesn't matter if it's your wife or someone else's wife, it should all be permissible, says the Shach. After all, the way that we define the Isser of Lo Sikruv Ulegalo Serva is that you're not allowed to do something which is sensual in its very nature, which might lead to something far worse. And he says when a doctor interacts with a patient, there is nothing about that at all that is inappropriate, there is nothing about that at all that is sensual, and therefore the Shach is of the opinion that we should reject the position of the Shulchan Aruch, and we should not follow it, which is very brave of the Shach. And very often throughout Shulchan Aruch you'll find that the Shach rejects the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch, or he rejects the Psak of the Ramah, and very often the Shach is who he follows. So this is a major dispute here. How exactly do we understand what did the Beis Yosef mean here when he said, Asur lemashesh la'as hadefek, and in fact when the Beis Yosef says, even if he's the only doctor in town, how is that to be understood? And well, the Shach says that we don't generally follow this opinion. So, let us just make clear that the Pischei Tshuva there on Shulchan Aruch writes, even if you adopt the position of the Shach, that there's no problem of touch when it's not for a sensual purpose, the Shach still agrees that it would be an Isser D'Rabbanan if it's just, you know, to walk the streets and just bump into every woman that you can see for no good reason. The Shach would agree that that's not something we should be doing. That really doesn't make any sense. Even if I have no relationship with a person, I never plan to have a relationship with them, right? The Achronim, that's not something that's proper, and it's not something that would be allowed either. But the Shach does say that we follow this general position, that we assume that anything that is not going to be sensual in its nature, and you're doing it for a purpose, you're doing it here not because you have an interest in having any relationship with your wife right now, you're doing it because you want to take care of her, you want her to be healthy, that would not be an issue at all. So Rabbi Avadia Yosef has a very important shuva in Chelek Hei and Yabia Omer, where he talks about an issue that comes up every so often at a wedding. What happens when you have a chupas nida? It's always a disaster, every time. It's very difficult. What do you do when a woman is a nida, when she comes to the chupa? What do they do that night? Where do they go? They can't have yichud with each other. It's a very complicated issue, but the immediate issue you have to deal with is when the chassan has to put the ring on the kala's finger. So how do you do that? He's not allowed to touch her. She's a nida. And this is one of the things they're not allowed to do. So that's a major question. So my father always tells the story how he was once in Eid Kiddushin at a chuppah. He was many times in Eid Kiddushin, but one of the times in his youth when he was in Eid Kiddushin at a chuppah, I'm sure you've heard the story, that Rav Soloveitchik was the Masada Kiddushin, and he pulled over the two Eidim before, and he said, by the way, this is a chuppah snida, so the boy is not going to put the ring on the girl's finger. The boy is just going to, what we do is we drop the ring into the girl's hand. So at least he doesn't touch her. So he just drops it into her hand. So generally, what we try to do, we make it smooth. You have the two Eidim stand in front so that nobody else in the crowd should see that this is unusual. And you have the videographer is distracted for a minute. And then he drops the ring into the girl's finger and nobody notices and you move on and it's not a problem at all. So my father said he felt so bad for the girl. She was crying and she was so uncomfortable about the fact that she was a nida. So my father was standing under the chuppah, and when it came time for the chassan to give the kala the ring, he turned his head away a little bit. So Rav Soloveitchik said, with the two Eidim, please watch when the chassan drops the ring into the girl's hand. So my father was like so he was so humiliated that, I mean, Rav Soloveitchik was upset at him that he was, you know, turning away, but he said he was doing it out of respect to the Kala. He didn't want to embarrass her, but Rav Soloveitchik, I guess, gave away the secret to the whole crowd about what was going on. So anyway, Rav Avadia says, "New part of being a genius is sometimes you don't get it. I don't know." So that's what happened. So Rav Avadia writes that the Maharil has a whole discussion about what should be done if a girl is anita at the chuppah. So he says, you're not allowed to put the ring onto her finger. What you do is, you just drop it out of your hands and then she takes it. So that's what the Maharil says. However, then he says that the Berhetiv writes, Anu enogim kein. The Berhetiv says, I've never been to a wedding where that happened. And this is in the days in the Berhetiv when they didn't have pills to regulate the cycle. So how could it be? The Berhetiv was never at a chuppas nida. Obviously there were, but the Berhetiv says, I've never seen such a thing. So what do you mean? And not only the Berhetiv, there are many other Achronim who say, we've never, ever seen this. We've never seen such a thing. How can it be? So Rav Avadia says, what do you mean, how can it be? What else are you supposed to do? Says Rav Avadia, well, maybe there's no real prohibition for the chassan to actually put the ring on the kala's finger, because after all, he's not doing it derechiba. He's doing it because that's the mitzvah that he's supposed to be doing now. Ki yikach ishisha, this is the way to marry my wife. And therefore, writes Rav Avadia, maybe that's why the Achronim say, Anu enogim kein. Yes, the Maharil came up with this concern, maybe he's going to end up touching the girl, and she's a nida, and that's going to be an isra of the sikravu. Writes Rav Avadia, the reason why the Achronim rejected that is because this is for a purpose. There's nothing sensual about what he's doing. He's trying to fulfill his mitzvah, he's taking the ring, putting it on her finger, and it's not going to lead to anything else, and therefore he says that there should be no issue with that at all. And he even brings a proof to it. The Ramah says, when he talks about such a situation where you have a case of a chuppas nida, the Ramah says, Tov lo di'a l'chassan shehi nida. It's a good idea to tell the chassan before he walks down the aisle that his kala is a nida. What do you mean, says Rav Avadia? Tov, it's a good idea? It's an obligation. You better tell him. Why? Because otherwise he's going to come under the chuppah, put the ring on her finger, and that's not allowed. She's a nida after all. He's not allowed to touch her. Well, says Rav Avadia, no. Obviously, what you see from the Ramah is, the Ramah himself wasn't so sure that there's anything wrong with him putting the ring on her finger at the time, because after all, you're not doing it with anything else in mind. You're doing it because that's what the Masada Kedushin is telling you to do. And he says, say, Hariat Mekudeshesli, put the ring on her finger, that's what you do. So there's a very controversial issue that is connected to this in the Tshuva's Lev Aryeh, Dayan Grosnas. If you hear from Maariv, it's in the main shul. So Dayan Grosnas has a tshuva. He was a dayan in London. So he has a tshuva where he discusses something that we're asked all the time, and it's a very uncomfortable issue, because when you have a woman who's in labor, that's the time when seemingly she needs her husband most, but yet she's an ida. So her husband is not really allowed to touch her. So the question is, what should the husband do? Well, says Dayan Grosnas, and it's a very controversial tshuva that he writes, but he was a great Talmud Chacham. Dayan Grosnas writes that there's room to argue that the husband would be allowed to hold his wife's hand if she's in excruciating pain and she feels that that would help calm her down. Why? After all, he says, what do you mean? She's clearly anida. Everybody knows that. Says Dayan Grosnas, is the reason why he's holding her hand at the time because he's being so loving and such a... No, it's because his wife is in pain and that's the only way to calm her down. That's the job of the husband. Says Dayan Grosnas, it would make sense to me that that would be permissible. Now, he was attacked vehemently for his position, but you hear where he's coming from. So the Minchas Yitzchak and others said, oh, it's unacceptable. How can you say such a thing? You're going to allow such a... Oh, okay, everyone went crazy. But the root of his argument is really from this point, that the whole understanding of the Rambam is that the whole prohibition of lo sikravu is only when you're doing something that might lead to a relationship that is forbidden. And here in this case, perhaps when he's doing it only because this is what's necessary, like the Shach says, when a doctor does the job that he needs to do, that would not be something that would make us nervous at all. So writes Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe already talks about this issue. The men and the women sitting next to each other on the plane is not a new issue from our generation. This is something that happened already in the days of Rav Moshe 50 years ago. So Rav Moshe has here a very interesting tshuva where he talks about Bidvar Halicha B'Sabvei. I love how Rav Moshe writes this. He always writes like that. Bidvar Halicha B'Sabvei. When the person needs to go to Manhattan on the subway, Ubit buses, right? So he says, when you want to go on the bus, Bizman Shaholcha Menei Adam Labodosam. Everybody has to go to work, and you work in Manhattan, and the only way to get there is if you take a train or a bus. Sometimes you get on the train and it's jam-packed, so you're obviously going to bump into somebody. So he says, Imuter az lalechas b'shoz elu. Maybe you tell a person, you got to go to work at 10 o'clock. Wait till the train's empty out, and that's the only time you can go. So somebody asked this to Rav Moshe. Is that a positive? I can't even fathom that. So for me, 10 o'clock would make sense. But what would you say to such a person? Well, says Rav Moshe, let's talk about it. Let's think about the issue. And Rav Moshe comes to the conclusion and he says, how can you tell me that that's prohibited? That's the same logic that we've been following all along. The same way that a doctor would be allowed to treat a female patient because that's not a negiya shel chiba. So too over here, he says, when you bump into the person who's sitting next to you on the train or you bump into the person who's next to you on the bus, after all, says Rav Moshe, that's not a negiya shel chiba. You have to be a very sick person that every time you're going to look at somebody or you're going to bump into anybody, automatically your mind starts wandering and you have such a excitement every time somebody bumps into you or stands next to you. That, says Rav Moshe, is not the norm, or at least it shouldn't be the norm. However, Rav Moshe then writes in the Tshuva, if you know yourself that you're such a pervert, and he says, there's no other way to say it. If you know that you're such a terrible person, that every time you see anybody from the opposite gender, automatically your mind starts wandering and you're all over the place, you don't know where to put yourself, then writes Rav Moshe, well, okay, then for you we have to think twice. But for most normal people, says Rav Moshe, this is not something that would get them thinking about anything else. And therefore Rav Moshe says, if you're going on the subway and somebody stands next to you, somebody sits next to you, he says he doesn't think that that would be a problem, based on the logic that we said up until now, that when it's a negiya she'ena shel chiba, there would not be a prohibition of lo sikur v'lo galo zerva. Now make no mistake, this is all predicated on the assumption that that is the position of the Rambam. However, the Beis Yosef was quite clear in the way he understood the halacha, and the Beis Yosef there writes, asur l'mashesh la sadekav, you wouldn't be allowed to even take the pulse, even if she's very sick. Now, how we understand that Beis Yosef is up to subject to a major debate. So these people who don't want to sit next to the opposite gender, they're not coming from nowhere. The Shulchan Aruch does seem to adopt that kind of position, that even when you're doing a negiya she'ena shel chiba, it might be something that is still prohibited, but it's something that we need to think about. So there's even a interesting passage that I saw this week in the Tshuvas Az Nidbru, which is by Rabbi Yamin Zilber. I didn't know what it's all about. How do you translate that word, Az Nidbru? It's a strange title for a book. Az Nidbru means they all talked, right? Then everybody talked. So what was that? So my father told me the history. Rabbi Yalman Zilber lived in Bnei Brak, and apparently he used to write like a column in the, I don't know if it was in a newspaper or he used to give out a weekly sheet. And Az Nidbru, everybody used to talk about it, because it was always interesting. So everybody used to write back, and then they would attack this way, attack that way, and everyone would discuss it. And then he collected it, and he has the Tshuvas Az Nidbru. He talks about all the things that everybody spoke about. So that's the origin of the Tshuvas Az Nidbru. So he has a very fascinating tshuva where he talks about this issue, and he says, and again, don't forget, he lived in Bnei Brak, and he was as Bnei Brak as everybody else who lives in Bnei Brak. But the Az Nidbru writes a very fascinating anecdote about himself. And he says there were many times where he got onto a sheirut, he got onto a taxi, a bus. So look what he says. He says, every day, we have buses, we have little, what are they called? The nesher. It goes from Bnei Brak to Yerushalayim, and everybody travels back and forth. Sometimes there are men, sometimes there are women. You don't know who's going to be on there. So what happens? There's one seat next to the driver in the front, and the one woman who's on the bus says, I want to go sit next to the driver, in order that I shouldn't have to sit next to somebody else who's from the opposite gender. Even if there's an old man who already took the front seat, they say, Omrim lo laredes, they ask him, please change your seat, go to the row that's further back, in order that Chalila shouldn't have to sit next to a man in the back of the bus. Says Rabbi Yamin Zilber, Ani kama pa'amim hisnagti lazeh. Rabbi Yamin Zilber writes, I was very careful never to allow this. If I was ever on that bus, I never told them to do that. V'ta'anasi, and my claim was, Shekesha ha'isha yosheves rishona, kasha lihizaher, turn to the other side, May iser histaklus yoser. He says, it's very nice, you want to be machmir. But writes Rabbi Yamin Zilber, sometimes if a person doesn't fully understand the halacha and the process of how we got to the halacha, they make a mistake in taking a chumrah upon themselves. Writes Rabbi Yamin Zilber, We hold Me'ikar Adin that this is mutter. For a man and a woman to sit next to each other under normal circumstances, assuming both of them have healthy, normal lives, we assume there's no problem for them to sit next to each other. Why? Because it's not a negiyah shel chiba. It's not a negiyah, it's not a touch that's going to lead to anything else. You want to be machmer and say, oh, I don't want to get near this person. Maybe a negiyah, it's not allowed. However, writes Rabbi Yamin Zilber, understand the consequence of what you're doing. So he says, the woman takes the front seat. First of all, sometimes she kicks out the old man who's sitting in the front. It's already inappropriate. Number two, he says, she's going to sit in the front seat, and now every single man on that bus is going to be staring at her the whole time. It's an interesting angle that he comes from. And he says, just think about that. He said, I would rather that a man and a woman sit next to each other than for the woman to take, no, the front seat often is the other way, right? It faces the other way. It faces all the passengers. So he says, I would rather that this woman take a seat like everybody else, sit next to whoever's sitting next to her, whether it's a man or a woman, instead of her sitting in the front of the bus, and then the whole ride to Yerushalayim, everybody on the bus is staring at her, and maybe that will lead them to do something worse. So therefore he writes, again, you got to be a certain kind of person to think that way. But Rabbi Yamin Zilber, and I found this very interesting, where he writes here, yes, we have the Shach who tells us that this is his position, and therefore he says we should follow it. Somebody wants to be Machmir, understand that sometimes by your being Machmir, there might be something that is coming out to be a negative consequence. And how many times have we watched? I don't know if you've ever seen this scene on a plane. How many times have we watched that when somebody makes an issue out of this and they refuse to sit down, and therefore as a result of their refusing to sit down, none of us are able to take off and the plane is delayed, all because you want to be machmer. It's very nice if you want to be machmer, but understand what the consequences are of a chumrah that you take upon yourself. If me'ikar adin we hold that the shach's position is the correct one, then that means it's the correct opinion. And if you're not going to have the opportunity to be on your own space, on your own time, and be machmir, and now your being machmir is going to be on the cheshbon of everybody else on the plane, that's something that you need to take into very careful consideration, the same way that Rabbi Yamin Zilber wrote here, that he also thought it was wrong in his day, when they used to have all these kinds of disagreements about where the person should sit when they get on the sheirut that went from Bnei Brak to Yerushalayim. So